Welcome to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. For the next hour, you'll hear proven methods for how to live the multiple income streams dream. Ryan is passionate about helping others discover their gifts and start their own business. He's published 5 books, and his courses and group coaching programs have changed the lives of thousands of students all over the world. Ryan's books include Private Label, The Easy Way, Finding Your Grace Place, and his latest, Streams of Income. And now, here's your host, Ryan Rieger.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger, and today we're chatting about why. And in business, you have to have a strong why to keep going, because there are going to be times when you just don't want to do it anymore. There's going to be times when you feel like giving up and quitting. And this couple that I talked to had 2 very strong whys that pushed them and motivated them to keep going in their business. They're Adam and Emily Brusso. They're quickly becoming friends of mine. They're members of my Amazon Legends group, and they're a fun couple. Very entertaining episode to listen to. I'm excited to bring this to you. First, I wanted to share, if you haven't got my book yet, grab it at streamsofincomeradio.com. You can get it for free. Also, I have a brand new video playlist on there that you can search every single episode of this podcast. So for example, let's say that you want to know if I've ever talked or mentioned the word eBay, for example. You could type that in and it will bring up all of the episodes with eBay in it. Really, really cool. Just go to streamsofincomeradio.com and you can search through those and find the keywords and find episodes that you may have not heard before. Now here's my interview with Adam and Emily. All right, Adam and Emily, welcome to the show. So excited to have you guys.
Thanks. Yeah. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a little surreal. Adam,
what's that?
It's a little surreal.
Yeah, really cool. Well, hopefully it's a good surreal.
Yeah,
it is.
But you guys were saying before we popped on here that you guys live in the Atlanta area. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep, we
awesome.
Do.
Awesome. You've grown up there all your lives or?
No. Well, yes and no. I answered for him instead of myself, which is a little weird, but I guess 18 years into a marriage, we could do that, right?
Yeah.
I am from the Atlanta area.
Oh, nice.
And I grew up in Michigan, actually.
Okay.
And we met in Colorado.
Yep.
Oh, awesome.
At a Bible college in Colorado.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. What Bible college was it?
It was called Ravencrest Chalet. Okay. Uh-huh. It's in Estes Park.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I've been to Estes Park. Why, it's beautiful. My goodness. How would you concentrate on your studies there?
Well, right.
And we actually met on September 12th, 2001.
Uh-huh.
So it was the day after 9/11.
Wow.
And at Bible school. And we were engaged December 11th.
No way.
2001. And we got married in August 3rd of 2002. So like 11 months later.
That's very fast. My parents met in April, were married in August. So fast also.
They beat us.
You by a little bit. Yeah.
But what we knew, we just knew, you know.
Yeah.
Not to say we were ready, but we knew.
You just knew.
We learned though.
Yeah.
School of hard knocks.
Those first 6 months were a little rocky.
Right. Well, it looks like you guys get along together. You're laughing. That's always a good thing. Tell us about your business. I know, guys, for those of you watching and listening, Adam just quit his job recently. So we definitely want to talk about how that all came about. But tell us about your entrepreneurial journey.
So we've always had a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit, I would say, within our family.
Yep.
We've always had, like, often, not always, but off and on, we've had side businesses. We homeschool our kids, and our oldest 2 boys, when they were coming up, we wanted to give them a business experience. So we kind of let them steer an e-commerce business. We owned a skate shop for a while.
Oh, cool.
Skateboard.
So that was fun. We got to, you know, get involved in the skating community. That was great, but it's also really not lucrative, which is fine.
It was more of a hobby than a profitable business.
A good learning experience. But it's really interesting, actually. Our Amazon business sort of started the journey towards that really started kind of apart from business at all.
Mm-hmm.
It started when we started the adoption process. We have four biological kids. We knew mm-hmm. we were called to adopt. So we started mm-hmm. the adoption process 5 years ago.
Okay.
And we have to kind of skip through stuff a little bit, but
you can go a little bit. It's okay if you talk about some of that stuff.
Okay, I mean, we'll go into more, yeah, but it's sure. like, it's too much to cover. It's like a, let's get a cup of coffee and sit down for 5 hours kind of situation. So
we're giving you the
we're trying to do bullet points.
Right.
So we'll just say this. It was not smooth sailing for us. And it was a very bumpy road.
Did you adopt domestically or internationally?
We were looking to adopt domestically. Mm-hmm. And we waited and waited for, I guess, was it?
2.5 years.
Yeah, 2.5 yeah. years. And then we were approached by someone that we know, and they asked us to okay. adopt their baby.
Wow.
And
we agreed.
We agreed, and we had her for 5 days and just like loved her. I mean, it was an instant connection there. Mm-hmm. We all loved her.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom changed her mind.
Oh, man.
And she went back in, and it was kind of a situation where DFACS was involved, mm-hmm. and we were told that we would be able to foster her, but because that was what was going to be healthiest for her at the time, mm-hmm. but then they changed their mind and they gave her back to her mom. So she went wow. back to less than ideal circumstances.
Okay.
And our family went on a very rocky journey of recovering from that.
Sure.
I cried every day for a year.
Mm, oh my gosh.
He probably cried twice. I don't know. I mean,
so is this before?
Yeah.
Did your adoption journey start before you had biological kids or after?
I would say it started before. I mean, we since the day we met and uh-huh. talked about having a family, adoption was always on the table.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So
yeah,
in a way it did start, but then it became really apparent to us initially that we were supposed to start with our biological kids, which okay. you know,
yeah,
that was just God very specifically told us every single time mm-hmm. when it was time to have our child. And mm-hmm. we were actually, you know, I know that different people have different journeys, and
sure,
but we were always pretty much instantly pregnant when God said the next wow. child, like, and it was usually, you know, we were given like, your son is waiting, your uh-huh. daughter is waiting.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those kind of things. We've since been able to kind of walk in the shoes of what it feels like to have the loss of not, you know, we, with the adoption mm-hmm. process, we,
oh, for sure.
We waited and waited and anyway.
Lots of false starts.
Yeah. So it took us a year of just sort of like regrouping as a family. Mm-hmm. And it was the summertime. And we decided that
last summer.
And it was creeping up on a year since we had like had the loss of losing her. Mm-hmm. And we just felt like we needed forward movement in an area in our lives
yeah.
that we felt kind of stuck mm-hmm. And that it was time to start moving forward. And we prayed about it, and we felt like that our finances was really where God wanted us to move forward. Mm-hmm. Adam had a stable job, but it wasn't one that had a lot of growth potential.
Okay.
So we started listening to side hustle podcast to start getting mm-hmm. ideas, yeah. you know, and it was really, I think it wasn't it like literally called.
And you said this is just last year.
Yeah. It was last summer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we started listening to that and came across, it's actually a different group that sells on Amazon.
Sure.
And they were, it was a positive experience for us in getting started. They were very, it wasn't a scammy kind of sure. situation. They were yeah. very upfront about the roadblocks you're going to hit and the discouragement side of things. And mm-hmm. They really helped us just even start the business,
the
courses.
Yeah, kind of like the A to Z, how do you even sign up
yeah.
kind of a thing.
Awesome.
And And it was in that process that I started. I like podcasts a lot. Like yeah. I spend 30 minutes, you know, on my way to work. Spend 30 minutes on the way to work and 30 minutes home. So I listen to podcasts. And so I started seeking out other podcasts.
Okay.
And that's when I came across Jim's podcast and discovered the whole MST community.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, you know, exploded from there. So, but one of the things we loved about MST was the community aspect that mm-hmm. this other group was kind of lacking. So
okay.
that kind of drew us, mm-hmm. you know, to MST further.
Right.
Yeah. And we definitely have gotten a further education, including we're, you know, coaching students.
Okay.
Through MST. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we started a year ago and we always sort of envisioned that it would be a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't going to be a full-time thing. And really, I think the one steering that the most was me, because mm-hmm. we had done like the business thing in the past where he's owned his own business and it was successful. It was an IT business and it was mm-hmm. successful, but a lot of work and a lot of, hey, when are they going to give you that paycheck that they owe you?
Right.
And you're, you know, just always having to like chase down your paychecks or, you know.
And a lot of time away from home.
Yeah, definitely a lot of time away from home. And so I was wary of going back to the idea of
owning a full-time
business. That was me. I'll own that one.
Yeah.
I was like, security, security, security.
Right. Oh, my gosh. So what did you, when you started your Amazon business last year, what did you jump into? What was that first type of inventory or how did you get started?
So we went to a Harbor Freight and we uh-huh. bought a bunch yeah. of stuff that didn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
We've all done that. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went and we started scanning, you know, we just started scanning barcodes because that was the thing that this was really before we had heard about this group.
Right.
You know, the other, they said, just start scanning barcodes and learning. So we're walking around scanning barcodes and learning.
We didn't have Keepa or.
We didn't know what we didn't know.
Right.
You know, I think some of the stuff sold.
Eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah. Well, after we mark it down to like nothing.
Right.
But still, it was a good experience. It felt good to like get out there and actually like buy something and send it into Amazon. Like we had to do something. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you learned the process.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some other RA. We found some other items. Do you remember like hitting, we found like one little section of clearance items that were selling great. And those started taking off and it was mm-hmm. like, this works. This works.
Yeah.
You know, just
that moment that like, you didn't realize it. Yep. Huh. I love that.
There may just be something here.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. And then we get a call that our baby is back in the foster system.
Mm, the one that you just lost.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that she's gonna, they think that she'll be, parental rights will probably be terminated.
So this is about a year ago. It was September last year.
September last year.
Okay. We got the call.
That parental rights will be terminated pretty quickly here mm-hmm. because she's technically been in the system.
Wow.
For the amount of time that age, you know, can be in the system.
Okay.
And we were given a snapshot of how many needs she would have.
Mm-hmm.
For therapies and just some real major interventions based off of where she was developing
physical and mental things.
Right.
Yeah.
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 So it really lit a fire under our booties to get some money rolling. We're like, okay, here we go. Like, we don't know how much this is going to cost, but we need to get going.
Right.
Yeah. It was scary to say yes to having her back, not because of who she was, but just because of the fear of loss, you know?
Of course.
And, but it definitely lit a fire under us. So we decided to sign up for coaching at that point. and or we started to pursue it at that point because we decided, okay, we need to fast track this.
Yeah.
And we need some guidance in fast tracking it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We saw enough to know that it worked.
Yeah.
And that had potential and more potential than, you know, any other side hustle that we had looked at. And also what was, you know, what we liked was, it wasn't a huge investment, you know, because we were looking at things like flipping houses or doing Airbnbs, which we're glad, obviously, with COVID, we didn't do an Airbnb situation because those, a lot of those are empty right now. So so this was a kind of a easy way to get started with a low, you know, starting point financially. So,
Awesome. So did you go back to Harbor Freight and buy the right things or?
We actually do have some Harbor Freight products. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a ton, but we do have a little there.
That's awesome. You know,
so we started, you know, I mean, things started picking up, definitely. It is so frustrating when you first begin and you find the numbers and, you know, everything. The Keepa chart looks amazing. And you're like, oh, this adds up. This is great. Oh, I'm gated.
Right.
Over and over, you know, that whole part, that was definitely like.
Yeah. Talk about that. Cause then when we're doing webinars for that are a lot of new sellers in there, that's the question we get a lot. And the answer that we say is you just keep going. There's so many products out there, but it's okay for us to say it. What is your, because the people are saying, oh, well, you've been selling for 10 years, you know, but what about you guys are fairly brand new. So talk about that for how you got over that hurdle.
So I would say it just took a lot of repetition. And what happens is over time you start to see patterns. You'll see patterns in the Keepa charts. You'll see patterns in the categories that sell well. You'll see categories and brands. I know that it's taught in Legends Group and Replens Group. You know, that there's like, for example, the big box stores all have their own private label items, you know. Walmart might have Equate or was it Great Value or something like that. So each store of those big boxers has products that they private label that are not going to be on Amazon unless a third party seller. So like items like that started opening up doors, and really it leads you down rabbit trails that lead you to more products. There's also, we also discovered I came from IT. So I'm a computer nerd. So I like software. I like data analytics. I like to like play with software and data to see what I can find. And so I played a lot with Keepa and found some really neat tools that are built into Keepa that I think a lot of people really may not know about. I know that Danny Stock has a lot, uses some of those tools and talks about a lot of those back, unknown programs. And so I started playing with those as well and just, you know, found some very interesting things that way and went down some very interesting rabbit holes. And then another tool that we used was we did subscribe to a few lists.
Yep.
And the lists, they also provided us with, you know, this is what a good listing looks like. We didn't always buy that item on the list, but it created opportunities to learn.
It's really more than anything like an educational tool to just give you an idea. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean you should go with it or anything like that, because you will be potentially competing with more people or, you know, but it just gives you that a framework. It narrows it down. Because initially it feels like this giant ocean that you're trying to spot these tiny fish in,
right?
You know, and it can feel really overwhelming. But with those lists for us, I mean, I know different people have different opinions on it, but for us, when we were getting started, it felt like it shrunk the ocean down a little bit more into like a pond size, you know.
Love it.
For me, like, he's data analytics and he's going to solve it that way. I'm like emotion and mindset. You know, so for me, the discouragement, I had to stop looking at it as winning and losing every time a listing didn't work out and just go, okay, I learned something. So it's all a win.
Yeah.
you know, and that's what it's all in. No, I didn't find any new replins or, you know, new items to sell today, but I learned what I can't sell. So it's a win, right, you know.
Right. Or you found, you might not have found a product that day, but you may have found a website like, oh, this website that's looks right. interesting. Like mm-hmm. there might be something here. Mm-hmm. And you take a mental note to come mm-hmm. back to that site yeah. or yeah. say like, hey, this used to be a good listing and it's in this yeah. category.
Yeah.
And then at a later date, you'll see that pop up again and it'll be something that you can actually take action on.
Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of yours is online arbitrage then.
Yeah, I would say.
Probably, I don't know, 80% of our inventory comes from OA.
Nice. Probably. We do have a relationship with a local store
mm-hmm.
that will buy for us in bulk. And so I guess you would kind of consider that RA because we do go to the store to pick it sure. up and we get a good amount of our products when you can get them.
Right.
Which
right.
is one of the
yeah.
challenges.
Right.
We get a good amount of our products from them, but.
But I would say most of our ordering comes from different websites.
Okay. Are you prepping it yourself or do you have a prep center?
We just hired a prep center.
Wonderful. So, congratulations.
And awesome. And we actually found a prep center about 30 minutes from our house.
Awesome.
We wanted to find something close to us mm-hmm. so that we could utilize our local RA source so we could actually just drive the items.
Love it. That's what Honey does. She has one that's within 30 minutes of her. She just drops her RA items right off. That's awesome. Right.
So
that way, yeah, I mean, we were running out of space trying to do our FBM. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did not start out with any FBM whatsoever.
Yeah.
We were strictly FBA, but mm-hmm. COVID.
Sure.
When COVID hit, we couldn't send a lot of our products in.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and so we quickly pivoted to start doing FBM and it exploded.
Yeah.
And wow. actually that was what really, you know, started making a difference for our business.
Yeah.
And the other factor for me deciding to come home was, in March I started working from home, due to COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the business was growing. Mm-hmm. I was home and one day I looked at Emily and I said, I'd like to work from home. You know, I'd like to be here with the family and have lunch with kids and, you know, be here so I can, you know, do the sight words with our son and, you know, or whatever homework or, you know, mm-hmm. just be available,
right.
Do daddy daughter dates for lunch, you ever once, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Emily caught the vision.
Well, God had started working on my heart. And a big piece of that is the testimonies in this community.
Yeah.
Because the fear that I had was, you know, it's that security thing of like, what if Amazon, you know, just ups and decides, yeah. you know, and you're like, ah!
Right.
Yeah. Pound suspension.
Right.
Well, the idea of stuff like that was really intimidating to me, but I realized, I mean, I think that's what just having this group, it's like this safety net is really what it felt like to me of this right. community of people who will say to each other, all right, we're not going to let you fall.
Right.
You know, you may fall a little bit, but we're not gonna let you hit the ground. We'll say that, okay. you know? Mm. And I just went, you know what?
With and we're not the pioneers either. Like
yeah.
there are so many couples and people have gone before us who've already, you know, paved this path mm-hmm. and have given us the confidence to move forward.
Definitely. So I said, all right, I'm gonna bring you home.
Wow.
So in June,
get out of my way.
Right.
That was pretty much what it was yeah. like.
She's like, hand me the keys.
Because I had actually stepped away from the business a lot okay. to like focus on our foster daughter. had a lot of needs. I mean, a lot of needs. But I mean, the grace of God and just his goodness, she had caught up developmentally in a matter of months.
Wow.
Which is, yep. really unbelievable. To where she is exactly where she's supposed to be developmentally now. Oh,
praise the Lord. That's awesome.
I mean, it was really, it's huge. So,
yeah.
So I was like, I felt like I could turn my attention back to the business. Mm-hmm. And
so my employer, wanted me back at the office. Mm-hmm. So in June, like the beginning of June, I went back to the office and Emily, she took over Amazon. Mm. So I was, you know, working, you know, 9 to 5 basically at the office. And she was, you know, probably putting 60, 70 hours a week.
I was working 8 to 1 a.m. on Amazon.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I fed the kids in between. No, but really, they would come alongside and help us some.
Yeah,
help me some too. Be like, all right, guys, great. Let's pack.
So, a couple things that stand out to me, obviously, is you've had over the what you've told me so far, you've had two very strong whys. Number one was your foster daughter, and you had to kick it into high gear then, and then deciding to bring him home. What did you do extra? You worked a whole lot more hours, but what did you put that time into? What did that time look like when he was back in June, back at the office?
So I am in the replens course when it talks about that 10,000 to 40,000 a month range, and they describe it as the, like, you're just trudging through.
Yep.
I'm like, oh no,
we're going to run through this.
I will not trudge through anything ever. If anyone ever tells me this is going to be yucky, I'm like, I will bolt through the yucky part. I don't care if I don't sleep. That's my personality. And that was really, you know, we were towards the high end of that range, sort of.
You were at the, when he left, where, you don't have to say exact numbers if you don't want to, it's fine. But like May 31st, before he went back to the office on June 1st, you were at the high end of that 10 to 40?
Probably like 30.
We're in the 30s.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was, so I just set myself like really high goals, and I just said, okay, you're going to accomplish this. And it looked a lot like, you will find the replens, you'll add the replens, and it was large amounts. So, or large-ish amounts, you know, cash flow becomes an issue and stuff like that. So that definitely was a roadblock that we came up against a little bit, but, I would try to, instead of like, let's add 10 new replens a week, I'd jump to, we're going to add 25 new replens a week.
So you were just on the computer quite a bit, doing research.
On the computer quite a bit. And then I was, you know, prepping, shipping, doing the FBA shipments and doing the FBM shipments. And I was, you know, making sure that I was keeping up on the products that we sent in, that we were testing, that were selling well. And I was just,
I did help some, like when I was, when
he
I
had came a home, list, he got a shorter list.
I had my task that when I got home from work, you know, and I would help, you know, usually we would wait till I was home to do the FBA shipments and stuff. Okay. So we were sending in, you know, on average at least 2 a week. And by I just looked at the numbers just now just to verify I knew what I was talking about. so we are almost at 30 in May. In June we did about 35. In July we did 56.
Oh, you know what a lot of that was? It was like FBA, or we started to shift back. We noticed our FBM slowing down and FBA sales picking back up, but we had boxes sitting there waiting to be, you know, in the fulfillment centers. Sure. And so I was sending all, that was part of the cash flow struggle too, sending stuff in, but you're looking, you're like, all right, 6 weeks, guys, it's been 6 weeks. Could we, you know?
Right.
So that was definitely, we got spoiled when we first started and it was like, you send your stuff in and then, you know, a week later you see it on the, see it go live, you know, and that is starting to happen a little bit more for
it's
us
getting
now,
better.
But
yeah,
it's not perfect. So. Yeah, we were exploding in growth.
So it was when we hit 56 at the end of July, we're like, okay, We have
proof. We're on the trajectory here.
Right. We have proof of concept.
Did you have when you made that decision back in March, did you have a date kind of set in your mind of when you wanted to say bye-bye?
Yes, it was 1 year from March.
Wow, so you beat it by a lot. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
We escalated and fast-tracked, and part of it was just he was really ready.
Sure. Once you made that decision in March, I bet June 1st, that day back at the office was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
So, and it was hard to like keep it inside like that, you know.
You were already checked out.
Yeah. I got 1 foot out the door. I did give them a 7-week notice. So yeah,
I
gave them a good amount of time to find my replacement.
And, yeah.
And I've actually kept, retaining them as a client, you know, okay. And I do still help them on the side some.
Oh, so wonderful.
Yeah. So that's.
Yeah. A question now I get a lot is when, of course, you guys are, I know you did. You prayed about it when that right time was. But a lot of people ask as far as number amount, like, do you know, you don't have to tell me any specifics, but like a percentage, was your Amazon business at a certain percentage of your regular job that you made, it made you feel more comfortable to make that leap?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were within the range to match, you know, my wonderful income. So, awesome. And so
we weren't quite there, but we were close enough to where we knew once he started working full time that we were going to.
And we had some money in reserve that we knew we could lean on some.
Sure.
And we also, being that we were, you know, only a month away from Q4, we're like, you know, now is the time for me to come home also so that I can put my time and effort.
Yeah.
We can
take advantage of Q4,
so that we can actually both be, you know, chipping away at this together, and have, you know, time and effort together to make the best of Q4.
Yeah.
So awesome. Rather than me, you know, working full time, and only working part time on Q4, we just thought it was a better investment for me.
So what's your time look like now that you have a prep center? What do you, I can imagine that takes off all that extra, I mean, that's usually not the fun part of the business that you just offloaded to somebody else. So what have you done so far since you just,
well, we're about a week and a half into that. So like they just sent our first batch.
Okay.
So
can we be fully transparent?
Well, sure. If you want to.
This is really, I mean, if you look back, you can say this is God's grace. You know, I guess what I had envisioned was that he was going to come home from work and Amazon was just going to shoot off and it was going to be amazing. Uh-huh. But that hasn't been able to happen for us because of some extenuating circumstances that are not so pretty that we've been traversing right now. Mm-hmm. But that seems to be kind of resolving, hopefully soon here. But I, like, when I look at it from a different perspective, I do not know how I would have made it through these past few weeks if he was at work.
Wow.
Our Amazon business would have come to a complete halt.
Yeah.
And so we've been able to maintain it.
We haven't lost anything.
We haven't lost anything.
We actually did about 10% better than last month. So we still grew. I mean,
it wasn't what I had envisioned, but it's still like such God's grace for us that he was home.
Yeah. He knew in advance that he needed to be home for that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I do not know how I would have done it if he wasn't. Mm. So it's definitely, God's goodness there. And now that that's sort of resolving, I feel like we are kind of getting to where we're like, look out October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but one thing we did do is we signed up with Walmart.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was forward movement.
So we've been selling at Walmart for 2 weeks now.
Okay.
We've done over $4,000 in sales in 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
4,000 in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you just signed up.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So that's
wow.
I will say this about working with Walmart. It's a little bit like shopping at most Walmarts.
There,
we are really grateful.
Let's just say
we're seeing some But there have been times where they've like suddenly changed our inventory amounts and they've like added a few products that we were like, we told them we had two, suddenly we're looking at it. Yeah. We sold three and we're like, what? Running to the store. I hope we can find this.
Yeah, we hope we can find this item.
Oh my gosh.
We've got orders to fulfill.
That we didn't even list.
Right.
Oh my gosh. That's so crazy.
Yeah, it's a little glitchy. It's still, I think that maybe, you know, beta, but it's tons
but
of opportunity.
Aren't we all just a little glitchy?
Yeah.
So it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. Oh my gosh. You guys are awesome. I'm loving this. Your comments on Facebook are great. So have you figured out another thing that people struggle with when they come off of a job is structure. Have you guys figured out what that structure is going to look like as far as, you know, who does what or hours that you're going to work or what you're going to put that time, that newfound time into? What's that? What's your, you know, you have an idea what your day-to-day might look like once things start to get back to normal?
Yeah, we do. Cause we really are kind of a yin and yang and we both know each other's strengths. I mean, we've been doing this marriage thing for 18 years. And as long as we stay in our own lanes, it goes great. If we start veering into each other's lanes, there might be a little bit of a, but right. For the most part, it's great. So I would say I'm a strategy person.
Okay.
So I'm like systems, organization. He is definitely the IT minded person. And he has no problem. Like, I really can't stand making a phone call or anything like that. You know, I don't want to reach out to people. You would think that I'm so bubbly and vivacious. You would think that I would just love to call people all the time. But I really,
she used to get mad at me because I'd talk to people on an elevator.
Like, stop talking. Like, nobody wants to talk in an elevator.
Right?
Nobody cares about the weather, Adam.
Oh my God.
But yeah, we were just talking this morning because it's really the first time that we've been able to decide what our days should look like since he's gotten home because of the extenuating circumstances that I mentioned. But we're going to have our teen boys work for us. They already do a little bit, but we talked about kind of creating structure to when we're going to pack up product because we're keeping all the FBM and the Walmart shipments at our house for Q4.
Sure.
So I'll kind of help them bust out, you know, what came in the evenings and overnight first thing in the morning while he jumps on, making some more, we want to make some more wholesale connections.
Okay. That's good.
Bundles is something that's on our list.
He does all of the like listing stuff and he does all of the communications with people if they have questions. The repricer, or anything like that.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the data entry and listing creation and inventory related stuff, accounting.
Yeah, because that's just like for him, he sits down and he's like, dur, 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 dur. For me, I would sit there like for 5 hours trying to figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Sure. So, and that being said, we do cross train, you know, like we try to stay so that, you know, if I were to get sick or she were to get sick, one of us could still step in and run the business. And
awesome.
May not be as efficient, but it could still, you know,
yeah, it's brilliant.
It's still moving.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That is cool. Oh my gosh. You guys are a lot of fun. I see a whole other episode we could talk about. And I see Sue Pruitt's watching. She and Larry did an episode one time, or maybe it's a webinar in Legends or somewhere about working together as a couple. Mm-hmm. And because you probably get, I get questions like, I could never work with my wife or could never work with my husband. I think we'd kill each other and all that. So there are valuable lessons from you guys of how you do it. Cause I'm sure it's not all 100% perfect all the time, but it looks like things are going really well and you're able to do it. So that's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. So talk about, well, last question here, I think, and we'll wrap this up. But advice for people just getting started or maybe from where you were a year ago, what would you tell yourself?
For me, I think the beginning of Amazon was really all about mindset. And choosing what I was going to put my mind to. And I would, if I listened to like a testimonial podcast on a day where I wasn't winning necessarily, or it was like, you know, things weren't going super great, I would just get really I would actually let myself get discouraged by them instead of mm-hmm. encouraged by it, because it's like, well, they're taking off and why am I not taking off? Well, right. that's just, you know, come on. It's really not helpful to go that route. So what God brought to my mind, I don't know, at one point, I think it was probably around November of last year when mm-hmm. we were doing the Amazon business, was when I was in elementary school, middle school, I went to ride my first roller coaster mm-hmm. and I was really nervous about it. I remember just like feeling that kind of nervous sick, but I gotta do it. I gotta do it. But I was scared. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what, Emily, if that person in front of you can do it, then you can do it.
Yeah.
And God just brought that to my mind, that roller coaster mentality of mm-hmm. sometimes things are scary, you know, mm-hmm. but if the person in front of, like, if these other people can do it, I can do it, you know?
Right.
And I, for the first time, really, I think ever, I feel like there is no limit with Amazon or yeah. with the e-commerce, like this business that we've started. I feel like we are really genuinely limitless. And mm-hmm. it's such an amazing feeling to like, yeah. to be able to dream and know that that dream could really become more than just a dream.
Right.
You know, it's yeah. pretty incredible.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we're only a year into this and like, we feel like we've only, you know, scratched the surface
yeah.
of the possibilities.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only doing, you know, OA, some RA, you know, replens. We hardly have any wholesale so far. I mean, I have a couple of wholesale accounts, but we really haven't broken into them yet to really take advantage of it. And, you know, going back to the roller coaster illustration, it is some days like a roller coaster. I mean, we've had sales days where like we had our best sales day ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next day we did maybe 10% of that.
Yeah.
And we're like
what's going on?
We were on the moon, you know, like
we did it.
And then the very next day we're like, we failed. What happened? Like, did we make somebody mad at Amazon? And they're like, hiding our listings now. You're like, we're just, right. you know, the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, like from one day to the next. But I mean, but with that in time, we've seen the patterns of kind of like, okay, we've been here before.
Mm.
You know, we've seen that tomorrow is yeah. a new day. Tomorrow yeah. could be a new record day. We didn't even, you know, like, so, you know, it's, there's so much more at play than just what we're doing. And
oh
yeah.
Okay. I thought of one for new people. Do not dismiss something just because you think to yourself, that item is ridiculous and stupid.
Right. Yes.
Like, this is the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. No one would ever buy it. Do not dismiss it.
Right.
Don't.
Right. Yeah.
You'd be amazed.
Yeah. I can honestly say I have no emotional attachment to any product that we sell.
Good.
And if you can, that you need to get to that place where you, because you know, when we first started off, a lot of stuff we bought was like, oh, I love this thing.
Yep.
Other people must love it too. No, not necessarily. So, more often than not, people love things that I have no, you know, like,
yeah.
why would you spend a dollar, let alone 10 on this thing?
Yeah, you know? I would say about 90% of what we sell, I would never even think about buying for myself.
Mm.
Like, I don't have it in my house,
yeah.
you know, like, but listen, it's really not about the product.
It's not.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
we're
all.
Okay. We're okay with that.
That's fine.
Gosh. That is awesome advice. Guys, thank you so much for being on with me. Congratulations on your success. And
thank you.
Thanks.
Now I need to get you sent me your photo, Adam. I need to put it on that, do an update of the Legends Hall of Freedom. If I have time between now and when we do the virtual conference today, I'll do that and post it. But this has been fun. I have a feeling we're going to have you on again if you're willing. And
sure.
I want to see what Q4 is like for you guys. So please keep me updated.
Yeah, we'll do.
This is fun.
You've been listening to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. From right here in the Dallas Metroplex, Ryan teaches several entrepreneurial courses and group coaching programs to students all over the world. Be sure to listen next week at the same time for Streams of Income with Ryan Rieger.